Good morning, creators. Welcome to the Media 1099 podcast. My name is Michael Dern. I'm here with my co-host, Robert Husky, talking freelance strategy in 2020. Quarter one is just about over. And today, we're going to review our first few months and set up our goals for quarter two. So hang tight, folks. We've got a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, everyone. It's Robert here. With COVID-19 wreaking havoc to the industry of freelancers, Michael and I would want to know how this virus is affecting you and your business. We are planning on recording a podcast in the near future about this novel virus and would really appreciate your opinions and experience of what is going on so far. Have clients canceled or postponed events? Are you using your time working from home efficiently? Has the stimulus package left out freelancers? We want to know, as well as any other topics you would like us to cover. Please reach out to us using Twitter at Media1099, Instagram at Media1099Podcast, or email us at email.media1099@gmail.com. We wish you the best and wish you good health in these trying times. And let's remember to pull together as freelancers. Have a great day and enjoy the episode.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the show. Robert, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So obviously, this has been an interesting wrap-up to quarter one. You know, a certain virus has changed the landscape a little bit.
Yep.
I'd say we're still going to do our review of how quarter one went. But obviously, just talking to you through like how this last, 10, 12 days has been for you overall to kind of affect your overall quarter.
Yeah. So just for a little bit of context, we're recording this on the 24th because things are constantly changing every day. But yeah, I mean, when this started to kind of break out in the US a little bit, I just instantly started getting cancellations on anything through the end of March through April. And now it's spread to pretty much the 1st of June. Everything has been postponed or put on hold.
Yeah.
So looking forward, you know, like that's kind of the next quarter that I'm dealing with, or I think a lot of people are dealing with, because pretty much the country is kind of in lockdown, shut down, shelter at home situation. So that kind of just has changed. It's weird because it's changed the outlook going forward, but a lot of the back end stuff, I would say that's like non-shooting related or non-creative related, is still the same for me. How about you? How's this situation kind of turned your world upside down?
It really hasn't, but at the same time, I understand that this is a very empathetic time to be in this country and this world. Like, everybody is going through something uniquely different. You know, people that were just about to retire that maybe lost a lot of income in their retirement, you know, that's a bad rap. You know, people that are just about to graduate now are wondering, like, you know, I have to come back next year and finish up those credits, and how is this going to work? You know, like, it's just delaying a lot of things. So whether you're Gen Zs, millennials, you know, boomers, whoever, like, everyone's kind of affected in a uniquely different way. My lifestyle hasn't really changed overall a whole lot. I have a couple of contracts, obviously, canceled, and that will affect the bottom line. And going forward during the fall and the summertime, I mean, some of those assignments are still kind of, you know, fluid, as everyone likes to say. And, you know, we'll kind of assess that as we go along. But overall, the lifestyle has kind of changed the same. The wife is at home a little bit more often, which is actually honestly quite nice. I enjoy that. But other than that, everything else, it's given me some opportunity to just kind of review how I want to use this time frame, be a little bit more aggressive with my marketing. And a lot of it's still strategy, so it really hasn't changed. But I think I'm just using this time to be as thoughtful and strategic as I can going forward, because who knows what we're going to go back into once the world kind of resumes and gets back to normal.
Yeah, definitely. I think the longer this goes on, you know, definitely small businesses are going to be more affected, especially people with employees or kind of running maybe a production company, small service business. Like, you and myself are a little bit lucky because it's just, we're one man show. So we don't have that worry for payroll, in the same way other people do. And yeah, moving forward, it's just, this is going to be an interesting world experiment, I guess, in a way.
Oh, without question. Very interested to see. And I hope everybody that's listening, you know, has a positive outlook on this, even if it's a negative situation going on for you. We're going to try to help everybody out as best we can. So in terms of going forward with our review. So do you remember some of the things that you mentioned at the start of the year, at the start of 2020, what you wanted to tackle? And you know, we'll just kind of go through each little phase here of how you've reviewed it.
Yeah. So for me, probably like my number one goal was to get more no's. And that is on a process of reaching out to more clients and also raising my prices. Because I've been in a situation where like that needs to happen. You know, I've learned after talking with you and other people that if you're not getting any no's or pushback on your rates, like it's too low.
I'm a genius. What can I say?
Thank you, Mike.
No,
you
I'm proud of you, man. Like that's a huge aspect for people to get over, but continue. Yes.
And I'm going to say like, I have gotten more no's, you know, it's kind of sucked sometimes, but also like I've gotten more when I do get a yes, the rates have gone up and I've over the course of the last 6 months, like substantially increased my rates and I'm still doing fine. So like just that push going has been a great success for me, at least for one of my key points.
Walk me through what that feeling is like when you actually receive no's and just kind of that process, because obviously it's there's a different type of no when it's like, hey, flat out, we don't like your work versus your price point is a little bit too high. Maybe we'll have to hold off and renegotiate at some point down the line. Those are very two different responses. But what has your responses been when you've gotten these no's? Has it been more of that kind of group B category of based off of price, or has it just been something else?
Well, a few of them have been no's because I've been reaching out to a couple of people because I've been trying to like push that moving forward. So that increase in no's is just based on me asking more people.
Gotcha.
You know, but it has become more, I've become more comfortable with that process, you know, because like the first one's harder and then the second one's like, okay. Like, and then you just realize that that's just part of sales and being a independent contractor. Mm-hmm. With the second part in of people saying like, oh, that's, you know, that's a little bit higher. What's going on? Majority of people have kind of been understanding and they will go and be like, oh, that's a little bit higher than normal. You know, we're, this is kind of the budget that we've been working with. And I'll be like, oh, like I understand that, but you know, like services improve, like we've worked with your workflow, like this is kind of just where I'm at. And majority of the time we've been able to meet at like a halfway point. So, or about that area. So I've learned that like in increasing my prices, I have to leave a little bit of a buffer for that. And I've become more, more comfortable with my walkaway point of being like, no, like if you can't reach me here, cause I'm always willing to work with clients and potential clients because you know everyone's budget's different and everyone's going through things, especially if I've worked with them for a long time, like I get it, you know, but you also have to have some respect for yourself and your prices and your value. And I've been able to be like, nope, this is my walkaway point, sorry guys, like if you can't reach me here, you know, let me know when you want to get back in touch and I'll be in touch with them. Because in my two cents of if clients have said no, and I've worked with these clients for a while, then like, I think they'll miss the services and the value that I provide.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong, you know, but I've already had one other client be like, oh yeah, hey, so can we get back to this negotiating table a little bit? Because I guess they had a bad experience. So, you know, that's kind of my process on that.
I think overall, when you get to that position of negotiation, if you've done your job and your due diligence of providing as much value as you possibly can to that client, then you don't even actually have to rely on negotiating strategy that much. You've already done the heavy lifting. You've provided value that they don't want to replace, and they're going to have a hard time replacing it. So just knowing that in the back of your, you know, in the back of your mind, when you say, okay, here's my walk away point, which you've done, and then they say, okay, well, if they're competing based off of price, and they're saying, okay, well, Robert's a little bit too high for us this season, we're going to look somewhere else, then you know in your confidence that, yeah, they're going to have a hard time replacing me with somebody that's going to provide as much with the system that I provided. And so I think that's a really great position. I think everybody needs to feel confident in their negotiating. I think that's so much about it is just confidence in your own work. And a lot of us tend not to be, and a lot of us tend to not bring up pricing and whatever.
And
I think that's a great kind of notch on the belt there for you for quarter one.
And kind of another kind of way to look at that is like, okay, well, if you can't afford me, then like maybe you're not the right client for me.
Absolutely.
And maybe I'm moving forward. And that's taken time. Like it's a lot easier to say that like on a podcast than to a client. And I wouldn't say it like straight out like that, but
yeah, exactly.
it changes your kind of perspective and outlook on things. And you know, that comes with having to build a safety net, like knowing your financials, knowing where you're at, keeping your expenses low, because that gives you the strong footing to be able to be confident in yourself.
Agreed, man. Agreed. Yeah. Like it, you won't articulate it in that way of saying like, okay, no, you're not worth, you know, working with if you're at this price point. Like you would never say that to a client, but just in your own head, knowing, oh, well, maybe I dodged a bullet there. You know, sure, yeah, they walked away and they couldn't meet me at my price point. Maybe they're like a few $100 off or whatever. And it wasn't a huge deal, but it was kind of like, here's my price point, here's theirs. Yeah, you can kind of rest assured, like, you know what, it's probably best that you dodge that bullet. You know, you would have done a job if you accepted it for their price point. You would have done it resentfully, and you probably wouldn't have brought out the best of your work and your creativity and your services. So I think overall, it's a good plan.
How about you, man? How about quarter one? What's one of your goals that you remember?
I broke it down. So I had a bunch of different goals. After our interview with James Patrick, I kind of just jotted down specific goals in different areas of my life. So there was personal goals, financial goals, career kind of photography goals, and podcast goals. Those were kind of the overall aspects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll start off with like just personal goals. Like, you know, here's what I listed. I wanted to go to the gym 15 times. I wanted to make 10 green juices, which is basically just like, you know, you blend up spinach and everything like that. And it's really kind of gross and nasty, but it, you know, it was a way for me to get as healthy as I possibly could. Overall, get three specific kind of date nights overall. So like, you know, we try to live kind of small overall. We don't really go out too often, but, you know, having those nights are really important as well. And then kill off 8 books. So those were my personal goals. You know, so a lot of it was just getting to the gym, eating healthier, you know, making date nights more fun and reading. And I basically got most of those. The books, I did not get 8 books. I read 6 books.
That's still impressive, dude.
Yeah. I was, and a lot of it was actually right as the quarantine started to happen. So like up until that point, I think I had read 2 and then read 4 mm-hmm. in the last, like, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks. The other stuff like getting to the gym, you know, that kind of came to a halt as soon as the quarantine started to happen. But overall, I felt really good about the personal aspect. And so the reason why I just want to list that first is because I think that still is really important as you are kind of blending your personal and your professional life together. That's what freelancers do. It's just one heap of a mess. So
yeah.
If your personal life is healthy, your professional life is healthy as well, or as healthy as it can be. If all of that stuff goes by the wayside and I'm not increasing, you know, my intelligence by reading, and if I'm not going to the gym and keeping my conditioning as best as I can, I have a long way to go. I know that, but you know, those things will impact my business. And so I wanted to kind of start off with that one first.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just want to applaud you on the continuous book reading. I think that's pretty like substantial. And for me moving forward, you know, like I've kind of wanted to shift what I've been reading. I made a promise to myself that like I would not buy any new books until I finish the books that I have like currently in my garage on my bookshelf.
That is a good plan.
Yeah, it's been tough, honestly. Like right now on my desktop, I have so many screenshots of like future books that I want to read.
Oh, yeah, I have a growing list too.
Right, and so I've been actually, because of this quarantine, I've had a good opportunity to start reading books. I've gotten 2 or 3 off the checklist, and it's fun. Like it's fun getting back into that rhythm of reading, you know, but I really am looking forward to like, once I get over this hump of books that are in my bookshelf that are kind of like American history based, military history based, that I want to kind of change my perspective on what I'm reading, kind of a little bit more, Tim Ferriss 4-Hour Work Week, business strategies, marketing, like I just want to shift towards that, rather than current American history.
Sure.
Because yeah. You know, like you just got to shift stuff up, and that's kind of where like I want to go, and I know I'm weak, you know? So I think that for me is kind of moving forward, like on the personal side, even though it does kind of blend with the business side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to you, I just want to say, I'm going to sneak this from you right here, but on your financial goals,
yeah,
you wanted to pay off your student debt. And so how's that gone for you?
Yeah, I paid it off entirely. Woo! So
congratulations.
I know, thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate that. That was actually a really a huge moment for me. I almost broke down and cried. I don't think I quite did, but it was pretty close to it. I think it just, anybody that understands what debt is like and kind of has that feeling of just like feeling like you're never going to get there. When you do clear it off and knowing that you did it kind of in a, you know, honorable way, you didn't like, you know, win the lottery or inherit, you know, a shit ton of money or something like that. You just kind of worked that mm-hmm. paying it off, was so, it was just like this great weight lifted off my shoulders. And even though that's the lowest interest rate of the debts that I had, I thought it was really important for me to kill off. Foundationally from my mindset, I was like, you know, if I kill this off, that's going to feel great for the whole year. And I posted about this and I said, you know, if I didn't know what I knew now, I would have been paying this off for like another 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. And, but if I knew what I know now earlier, I probably would have paid it off like 5 years sooner. So I think there's just like this power that goes into it. When you really break that down, you realize you're like, holy shit, I could have been throwing aggressive amounts of money, you know, right out of college at this when I was living at home, you know, mm-hmm. when I had a place that the rent was like half of what I'm spending now. I could have been throwing so much aggressively. I could have really killed it off faster, but it is what it is. And I'm just happy that I killed it off. So I know I had about $1,900 at the start of the year to go. And I was paying minimums for the most part for the last several years, obviously. And I just aggressively threw whatever excess I had. So I had made sure that I had enough money squared away to fund my emergency funds, you know, my tax accounts, my retirement, and my overall fixed expenses. But then the rest of it, I was just throwing at student loans and credit card debts too, which I'll talk about. But yeah, quarter one was definitely a lot of kill student loans, kill debts, because that was, you know, that's one of the killers to building wealth. That's one of the areas where I think, and I guess if this time has shown anybody, you know, when you don't have income coming in and you have little debts killing your kind of overall cash flow, like you just have it, it's like a little hole in your life raft and you just have money secretly kind of just like quietly without you knowing it is just seeping away. It's a silent killer. So for me, just attacking that was really huge. I killed off about $8,000 in credit card debt in this 2020, and without really compromising my overall cash flow. I just kind of used the surplus that I had from in 2019, you know, because my fall tends to get very heavy. So I, like, 1 month might be $20,000 worth. And then it's like, okay, you're not going to spend every dollar that you make. You're going to like make that work for the rest of your year. And, you know, using some of that, I was like, this is what I can afford to throw at my debts. So overall, between credit card debt and student loans, yeah, it was probably about like 10 grand that I threw at that stuff. And if you're saying like, you know, how did you get that much debt to begin with? It's like, well, because I did stupid shit a few years ago. And that's why. And so that's why I preach it. And that's why I think it's like, it's a huge foundation to tackle your debts as fast as you can, because then you can really start to build, you know, your life a little bit more. And I still got a little bit to go, but that was a huge stepping point for me. And if I have one other thing to say is to tell people, if you're doing this plan, you know, you're finding that like Adobe is giving you two months free for the, you know, next couple months, little things like people are giving promotions, call your credit card companies and see if they can lower that APR and just do that. And I just did that the other day. They said no, but, you know, you never know, like somebody might be able to do it and just call them up every quarter or something like that. It's a fast way and it's a fast return on investment. So I would just say I was really proud of that for quarter one. I hope everybody else is kind of being diligent about that. You may not necessarily be able to throw more at it because you need that cash reserve to pay your rents and your insurances and what have you. But just going forward, yeah, that's a silent killer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just want to say once again, congratulations on
that. Thank you, man.
And also, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head of like, it's kind of a double whammy right now because, you know, like that $8,000, $10,000, like you would be paying interest on that when right now everybody's income has kind of gone from what it was to almost zero, if not right. zero. Mm-hmm. So like that would have just been biting you back in the ass again. So yeah, just once again, I wish I had a sound effects button to like a cheer or something.
Yeah, we could find a way, you know.
maybe that's another goal for a podcast.
That'll be the goal, 2020 goal, yep.
But yeah, just congratulations, man.
Thank you, appreciate that. Did you have any financial goals yourself in quarter one, or was it just kind of more broad?
It was a little bit more broad. I would say I did want to improve on like marketing, and I have actually spent some money on marketing, because I would say quarter four of last year, I like made the decision to like save money for marketing specifically, like put it in on paper that like once I hit like X amount, like I'm not going to spend that money. It is specifically for marketing. Mm-hmm. I haven't spent money on print marketing, but for my wedding business, Blanca and I put some money into Facebook ads, just kind of testing the waters, seeing how that went. Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting, you know, like never done anything like that before. I think we got a couple nibbles, but I'm like, it's weird. It's just weird, like spending money on something like that, because I've never done that before. It's kind of always been like word of mouth, and this is, you're going online and just trusting the algorithm. But you know, like, so for me, that was kind of just like a small step forward, because who knows, like one, I definitely know I need some print stuff, and on the marketing front, like got to update my website. And I've been saying that I'm gonna do that every 3 months, but it hasn't occurred yet. But because of this kind of quarantine and stay at home, one of my goals kind of moving forward is work on my archiving and like archive everything. Like there's no excuse to not archive, because for me, the biggest thing is like, you don't want to get behind the wheel of when you have more work coming in and you can't keep up archiving with it. It becomes so much harder to jump on it later on. And now since everything through May is canceled pretty much for me, like I should be archiving. Like there's no excuse not to, like I have the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, and that kind of mixes a little bit of personal with business. Mm-hmm. And on that front, I've realized like I need to become my own better boss for a personal / business goal this upcoming quarter, because this first week of like quarantine kind of just got squandered, you know, like it's one of those things, like there's an abundance of time. Right. And so it's like, okay, like cool, I could do that in half an hour, an hour. And also I've realized like I'm a very much routine person, and because I can't go out and go to the gym, that's been like my thing to do and kind of get my brain going. Like everything kind of just collapsed. And I didn't start really hopping back on it until I got some other work from Cal State LA of actually archiving, that I was like, oh shit, I don't have all the free time in the world now. Yeah. I have to separate my day, and I've been more productive with less time. So I've realized like, oh, I'm a horrible manager of myself and my free time, and I got to kind of work on that.
I think people are getting firsthand experience. They work a 9-to-5 and they're coming into this position now where it's like, oh, they got exactly what they wanted. Now it's different, right? Like I'm saying that with the exception to the people that got laid off or furloughed or whatever. But if you got paid leave, you got what you wanted, right? You got more time at home and you're getting paid for it. Like that's pretty exceptional. If that's the case, they're learning right off the bat, like, oh, you know what? This isn't as easy as I thought it would be. Yeah. I used to always make that excuse of like, if I just had more time, I'd be able to accomplish all the things that I wanted. And then when you get it, you realize it's not that easy, because you could just, a day goes by and you're like, oh shit, how did that day just go by? And I didn't really actually do anything. There's a reason why I put a lot of emphasis on time management strategy. And like, you know, I'm the same way. I think we're all creatures of habits, right? So if you have a routine, then it's disrupted. It's going to be hard and challenging. And I find that overall, figuring out ways where you're the most optimal and expending that time, I do think that there's a notion of like, one, I hope this normalizes the conversation of remote work for people. Because one, I think, with the exception of to the people that have lost their jobs and been put into real economic struggles, if anybody else has gotten that taste of like, you know, I'm at home now, I'm working remotely, I can still do my job, I'm doing Zoom conferences and all that stuff, and my mood has improved, like my happiness has improved, like I think that's something to note. And I hope it normalizes that conversation for companies and small businesses about, you don't have to be in the office all the time. And I hope it does, because that's the huge emphasis of the reason why I love freelancing, is because, like, I get to stay at home. You know, when I'm not working, I get to stay home and I can kind of create my own schedule. Now it's up to me how I want to set that and how productive I want to be. If I don't want to do anything, I don't have to do anything, but that's going to make my business suffer. So, you know, you figure out ways to optimize it. And we're still working through that. I'm still working through that. I'm still trying to figure out exactly the perfect way for me to do it. And I don't think there ever will be, but, you know, I think that is being your own boss is tough. Yeah. You know, so to hit on your head, like, you know, if you making a goal of that being in 2020, I think we're all there with you. Anybody that freelances, anybody that's their own kind of self-employment boss, like, that's a hard position to be in. And we're all just going to try to figure out how to get better at it. And I think we'll dedicate an episode to this as well, maybe in the next couple of weeks, about like how we're optimizing our time during this quarantine.
Yeah, no, it's tough, man. It's definitely tough. And also, Blanca is kind of working from home too. So that's,
yeah,
like,
see,
I love it, but it's also different, just because, like, we eat at different times and just all this kind of random stuff and then miscellaneous conversations. And it's just like, oh man, like, okay, wow. I'm so used to just being in my own cave that it's like, okay, just, this is the new norm. Like, let's get used to this. And like, let's get back on this very productive train.
Right. It's just a different dance now, because you have another person there, and it's not like a bad thing. It's just, but now your routine has been disrupted. Dina being at home as well, similar things where it's like, okay, you know, how do you balance what you normally do when you're alone versus, you know, now you have somebody here and it's like, okay, you're trying to be considerate to spending time with each other, but then also being optimal in terms of what you have to do. So just in this conversation itself, we had to work around, because we would normally do this during the mornings. And I did say good morning to everybody. It's really not morning, it's evening. But and that's because, you know, Blanca's there with you and she has to take care of her like conference meetings and all that type of stuff during the day. So we're all kind of like figuring it out. You know, we're all dancing and we're all figuring out, okay, well, there's a disruption here. It's a good disruption, but it's slightly different than what I'm used to.
Yeah. So kind of shifting this back a little bit towards the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? I'm trying to find on our Google Doc right now. What were some of our goals for the podcast in quarter one?
So these are the ones that I wrote down for myself, just mostly because I was taking care of a lot of the marketing. So I wrote down that I wanted to do six Instagram carousels that were educational. Mm-hmm. I did not quite deliver on that. I got three, but I was happy that we did it. I wanted to do one Instagram TV post, which we did. So I'm happy about that, because I thought it was important for us to get a face with our brand as well. Just kind of like say, hey, you know, we're not just some, you know, shitty website or something like that. The other one was to actually launch a website, which we did.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep. Media1099.com. So I'm excited about that. And then three interviews. So I basically kind of wanted to start off 2020 saying like, hey, can we do an interview a month? And so far, thanks to James Patrick, to Matthew Baker, to Andrew Nelson, we've gotten three great interviews for each month, and you know, we'll try to keep that momentum going forward.
Yeah, and going on the Instagram TV post, I'm just going to say this right now for the record, I'm going to do one.
Oh, so nice.
So there we go, because as soon as you did it, I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to do this.
The pressure is on.
The pressure is on. So I guess I'm going to have to shave, because I haven't shaved since this quarantine.
Okay,
and
I got you.
I still don't have a beard. It just looks kind of straggly and messy. But I will do this. So everybody listening right now, if you don't see it within like 1 or 2 weeks, start hitting us up in the DMs. Okay. Like, yo, Husky, where's this Instagram?
Yeah.
Because I know that is one of our goals for the podcast. So I'm just, all right, let's do it.
No, that'll be exciting, man. I'm happy that you're going to take that.
Yeah. Also another one, because I guess I'm just in this mood, like for the podcast, for our website, we've been writing more.
Yes.
You've been writing more. I've written. So, but that is my only goal for this podcast, is to write consistently, because I just need to do it and I need to commit to it. So I'm not going to say any other goals for the podcast for this upcoming quarter, except to write.
I love it.
Write consistently.
Yeah.
So there is no excuse. There's no BS. Well, I did accomplish some other things. It's like, no, man, proof is in the pudding, you could check out our website and see if I've written anything.
Yeah. By the way,
check out my Grayscale writing. I think it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just that's for me, this goal moving forward.
It's a good goal. I think everybody should write. I think overall, and especially creatives, I think everybody should document their process, whether it's cathartic for themselves, but also too, it can provide value to everybody else. And it may not necessarily be to everybody, but just based off of your position, what you're going through and your thoughts, they may be unique and then somebody else can take something from that. So I think it's a great way to validate expertise. It's a great way to just cathartically get something off your chest. Like I have a blog post going right now. It hasn't been published, but about what we're experiencing right now going through this shit.
Yep.
And so I'm trying to craft that, you know, that narrative, that story about like, you know, what I want to say and not shame anybody, not embarrass anybody or anything like that, or be insensitive to the strife of others. But I think writing is a huge, I think people like every aspect of career paths should write, you know, I think it's a great way to connect with other people.
Yeah. And it just like, I think it helps with your creative process. And it's for me, like the hardest part is just that staring at that empty page and just starting.
Mm-hmm.
And also I've learned like I either am great at writing in the morning or at like at night, like during the day, like I can't do it. Like either there's too many distractions, too many shiny objects. There's something about like early morning or late at night that just helps me kind of sit at my desk and just, I don't know, ponder life or whatever. And just kind of words kind of come out a little bit easier for me.
One thing that I just started doing, I want to say 2 days ago. So I've done this for like 2 or 3 days at the most, is the first hour of the day, you know, is without screens for me. So I wake up and I'll obviously check to see if there is anything on my phone. But overall, I just know like after cleaning up, brushing my teeth, taking a shower, whatever, I set a timer for about 45 minutes to an hour of no screens at all. And that really challenges you. I think it's really interesting though. What the experience that I've had so far with it is like, I didn't know what the fuck to do. I was like, oh God, okay, well, I would normally check my emails. I would normally do this. I would normally put on some music. I would do whatever. And I'm more liberal to the putting music on, you know, because I'll start stretching. I'll start doing some deliberate deep breathing exercises. And I started reading like actual hardcover book reading. And so that 45 minutes to an hour goes by pretty quick. And then you feel like, oh, you know, like it just, I think it changes the overall feeling and attitude for the day.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that to everybody. I can't say that like, oh, I'm some expert on it. I've only been doing it for 2 or 3 days, but so far I really enjoyed that constriction there.
Yeah, no, I think I read something about when you do that, it changes kind of the process of your brain, because if you go and like first thing you wake up and you look at a screen, like you're getting input and then that's shifting like the importance of what is already going in your brain. Like it doesn't give you time to kind of float and let your brain think for a little bit. It's like, oh, this news article is really important. Oh, I need to now react to this email. Oh, I need to watch this YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
And like your brain is reacting to this input rather than just like going through a process of when your ancestors were, you know, like,
yeah, I feel like it has just
no screens. It was great.
Yeah, it just feels more productive overall. Like, yeah. I just feel like after one hour, I've already done a mini workout and stretched and done some deep breathing and read a book. Like, that in itself, if you did that in just one day, I think people would feel happier and just more satisfied with their lives. So I'm doing that in the first hour of the day, which is huge. Now, obviously, this is tough if you have a full-time job and you would have to basically create and wake up another hour earlier to do this. But I think it's worth looking into if you can afford yourself to wake up a little bit earlier and go through that without screens. There's just a sense of more deliberate purpose in how you want to live that day. So
yeah,
I don't want to preach about it. I'm just saying, you know, for after a couple of days, I've enjoyed and I'm looking forward to it every day now. So I'm like, man, this is cool. Like, I can't wait for tomorrow. Because you know that you're going to fill up 90% of your day looking at a screen anyways. Why not just push it off an hour? It's no big deal.
Yep. And kind of on the flip side of that is I went through a phase, it's where before I go to sleep, I would not look at a screen like for an hour, 45 minutes. Like I'd read, just not Netflix and chill, whatever. And then that kind of helped me decompress and fall asleep better. I haven't been as active on that, but when I was in that like nice pocket of a stretch for like maybe 2-3 weeks, it was great moving forward. Cause like, yeah, we stare at our screens all the time.
Yeah.
So any little break really helps out.
That's a good one for me to try to do too. Cause I tend to not do that at night. Like I'll be up at like 1 a.m. looking at stuff online and then go to sleep. So yeah, if I can end my day the way that I'm beginning my days, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. For you on the business side of things, mm-hmm. What do you have going forward?
So in quarter one, in terms of how my first few months went, was I wanted to do a few things. Obviously, I wanted to do a photo shoot every month, which I did not do. I did two. But at least I got the ball rolling just on doing some creative stuff that wasn't assignment related, because I think that's important. You got to re-energize your creativity with things that it's like at least you are interested in and not just do what is paying you money. And hopefully it's a little bit tough now. Hopefully this quarantine doesn't last forever, because I would love to do one, you know, in April and May and, you know, June. But we'll see. I wanted to do 6 personal blog posts, which I didn't quite do. I did 2, I think. So that will be another thing where it's like just spend more time writing. I did want to negotiate a new contract because I knew it was coming up with a client and I wanted to do it successfully. And I was happy that it did. And so kind of going back to what you talked about, you know, being comfortable with your walk away price points and all this type of stuff. This was a client that I've worked with for a few years now. And we were negotiating a contract for the upcoming fall. And it was important for me to increase my price point as well. Like, as I say all the time, everybody that comes back to me, I try to negotiate a higher price point. And you may not always get it. And sometimes some clients may go the reverse way. But at least you always want to have some sort of communication that is negotiable. I want to be able to know that it's not just your way or the highway. It's, okay, well, I have a proposal and here it is, and we kind of discuss it. And so I was really excited to have this kind of back and forth where my initial proposal was too high for them. And we kind of met somewhere in between. But when we kind of met somewhere in between, I changed the terms of the deliverables or the payment. And so I went from net 30 down to, I think, net 21. And they were okay with that. And so like there was just little compromises, like little give and takes, so that at the end of it, I think both sides came away feeling really good. You know, they felt like awesome. And they totally respected where I was coming from. And they showed that by agreeing to the contract. I got an increase. I think it just came out win-win. That was a huge victory for me and for them. I just felt like that is always huge for your business to come away with negotiations knowing that you've done the client right, you've done yourself right.
Yeah, no, I think it's great that they were able to work with you and like open to kind of, you know, changing terms, working on a little bit of finer details. Cause I feel like a lot of times, at least for me so far, it's just been like, nope, like too high, or like, no, look, this is like the wiggle room, and they're not really open to like, yeah, changing deliverables or like the time frame on when things need to be delivered. And it's just like, come on, like you got to work with me here. You know, I'm glad to hear that it was a two-way street for you on that negotiation.
Yeah. And we'll, you know, probably do an episode specifically on negotiation. I just wanted to kind of actually read it's kind of the email kind of back and forth a little bit here, because I feel like it's important for people to kind of get an idea of what these, you know, conversations are like, at least from my end. You might realize that it's not actually as in depth as you think. So the first kind of email was like, I noticed you raised your rates by X amount for the 2020 season. Can you give me an explanation why? We would not like to cut your rates, but you know, this is a pretty significant increase that we'll need to be able to justify. Is this at all negotiable? My response was, thanks for getting back to me. Always happy to explain my rates. Each year I make it a point to increase my rates as a way to further improve my business and reinvest back into the equipment and systems that serve my clients better. I can certainly understand sticking to a budget and happy to provide another offer that provides a win-win. And so I sent that over to them and they said, and that was kind of a different price point. I didn't go down a super amount, but I went down enough. And they said, thank you so much for understanding. I totally get why you need to raise your fees. We really appreciate you being flexible with us on this project. And then shortly after, they agreed to it, sent it over. So it's, I just wanted to illustrate how easy that felt. Like, I don't know. I mean, you tell me, did that feel easy to you?
Yeah, no, that seemed very reasonable and very straightforward too. Like you weren't super holding any punches.
Yeah.
And it was informative. Like you were giving them a valid reason, not just like, oh, it's because I just want to. It was like, no,
exactly.
These are the reasons why. And I'm thinking of you when I'm doing this.
Correct. That and that is 100% true. So like, I think that if you're going to raise rates, you should have some sort of response in your mind of just knowing that when they come back to you and they say, hey, this is way too high. Why are you doing this? You should have a response. You shouldn't be taken aback by it, right? The clients will want to know, why is the price increasing 20%? And in your mind, you may have a bunch of reasons. Like you may say like, well, inflation is going to take 3% away from me in general. Never mention that to the client. You know, but whatever your reasons are, you want to articulate the reason why. And usually the best way to do it is to present it in this way that all of this is going back to you, right? Like, and that is true. And I hope it's true for everybody. My profits, the reason why I believe in profit margin and increasing your profits is because you can use that to reinvest into your education, your equipment, you know, your systems, everything about it, you can provide back to the client and they will receive. So to me, it's justified. And that's why I don't feel guilty about raising prices. I always want to make the clients happy, but you know, I also know that this is part of business. And if you do so, they'll understand it. So this is just kind of like I just wanted people to hear what that conversation is like. And it wasn't really that X's and O's. It wasn't like, hey, well, you got to cross off this here or that there and change this. I just did that in the actual estimate. The email itself was as short and sweet as it sounded. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was sweet, but you know, it just, that's as short as it was. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that to me, like if I were to receive that email, I'd be like, okay, like this is reasonable. This isn't out of control. And like, it's a very, it just seems like it seems like there was a plan in place for this and not just like, oh, I'm just raising the prices just because.
Exactly. Exactly. Cause it's not like I'm just trying to milk every dollar that I can from people. I'm doing this thoughtfully. Like my business increase is going to help you in your ultimate product. Cause I'm a brand strategist as well. So like I'm helping you. And then just kind of going back to my last goal in terms of my photography was to build an email list. And that actually extends to the podcast itself, is for myself to build an email list, create lead magnets. And I failed to do that on both sides, but we're working on that for quarter two.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of those things that takes time and it's kind of weird figuring out like, one, how do you get people's emails and like from what networks do you bring them from? Like, I don't know. I think that I'm glad you're kind of handling that. I kind of want to get a little bit more involved, but it seems kind of abstract to me.
And there's a lot of strategy. There is a lot of strategy. You won't believe like there are $6,000 like marketing courses on how to build an effective email campaign. I don't know all the answers to it. I just know the importance of it. I know how it can be beneficial. I know it's great for growth. I know it's a great way to connect. And I think that by doing so, you can continually reach your audience, you know, targeted audience, because otherwise they'll just unsubscribe from your email list or they won't sign up in the first place. So that the people that do sign up, they know, you know, that they want to hear your insight. They want to know what information you have. So whether it's a client or it's in the audience for this podcast, we can send them out information about our latest episodes. Downloadable PDFs, you know, these are called lead magnets, right? These are kind of free, either information, checklists, you know, whatever. These are great aspects for everybody to get. And it allows us to have part of our email list.
Yeah. We actually started, I feel like we started talking about this like in January, maybe for the year moving forward. And because of that, I've opened myself up to signing up to more like email lists and looking how people, like they say, create the funnel, right? Like, so if I'm on YouTube and they're like, oh, here's the PDF, I'll be like 99% of the time, like, nah, like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I have like my kind of junk email address that now I sign up for stuff just because I'm interested in like, okay, what's their process? How often are they emailing me? Like, was this really helpful? Was it just clickbaity? Like, are they trying to already sell me things?
Right.
So for me, like kind of just doing that research where allowing myself to get sold to, I think has helped me realize like the value in this, because from one of these, I've stumbled across YouTube, this one person, I was like, okay, like let's open up to their PDF, send me a PDF. I was like, oh, this was actually like pretty decent for free, you know? And then I watched like a live Facebook thing that they did that was pre-recorded, but it was like, oh, okay, like that was worth the 25 minutes. You know, they only tried to soft pitch me. And then I ended up buying a book from this person and I was just like, oh, wow, this is how the funnel works, you know? So it was interesting opening up myself to that. And I was like, okay, like this works. I guess I should put more thought and effort into it.
Yeah, I think the open rates are higher. You know, when you have social media algorithms changing all the time, and you've likely noticed that follows and likes are harder to get. Mm-hmm. And emails will still maintain the same open rates. So you are targeting your audience, you're sending out emails. Now, you can obviously say, well, I just zone out people that send, you know, these quarterly emails. And it just depends on each person. Some people will respond to a weekly email. I'm not one of those people. I would rather see fewer emails from people that I subscribe to. But and I find that more powerful. But, you know, you find that sweet spot. And yes, ultimately, the end objective is to convert on sales. We don't have anything to sell. So we're just doing this just to build our audience greater. Right. We're just doing this so that we can connect with more people by providing them with a, you know, a checklist or a here's how to do a budget for an irregular income. Like that would be tremendously valuable to somebody. And because a lot of people are saying, like, well, I don't know what should I look for in a contract? Well, here's a downloadable PDF. You know, all you need is an email address. And whether they subscribe and unsubscribe, that's up to them too. But at least it's connecting us with an audience. And we're not doing it with any objective of trying to get sales, at least not yet, maybe down the road. But like this is part of that transition, that value transition of like providing clients value, providing your audience value without any request in return. And I think that has changed my mindset on like, yeah, same thing, signing up for email list. Some people do it. And they do it kind of cheesy and they are totally trying to get you down to the sales funnel. And then I unsubscribe. And then other people are doing it pretty genuinely, just like how we would want to do it. And they're doing a quarterly email. And they're just saying, hey, I hope everybody's doing well during this COVID-19 quarantine. Here's a few things that I'd like you to know about how to set yourself up financially for future scenarios like this, whatever. And that's great. Awesome. You know, they didn't ask for my credit card. They didn't ask for anything. They just send that out every quarter or, you know, twice a year, whatever. So I think building an email list is tremendous and it's on my priority list. And I've just been trying to figure out what lead magnet to make and then also trying to figure out, especially for my personal stuff, like what lead magnet would I make for my ideal clients? Like I'm still figuring that out. So if anybody has an idea, let me know. But I'm trying to figure that out. I don't know. So it's that's why strategy takes so much time. It's like, you know, figure that out. Like what would work for your clients to be like, okay, this is valuable to us. And if you can figure that out, then you got something.
Yeah. And kind of like switching from digital to like in person, like one of my freelance business goals is like starting to take advantage of the network that I've been building, you know, and like, especially now at Cal State LA, like I've been there a little bit longer. I'm starting to make a couple more connections, couple more friends, and just kind of picking their brains on like the other side businesses and side hustles that people have or the connections that they have. Like I'm not looking to get business out of them. I'm looking to like pick their brain on this because now we've become friends, coworkers, colleagues, and just kind of like see what their environment of maybe like they're working with nonprofits or, you know, in other kind of fields that I'm not into and just trying to like get some value from them. And it's been really helpful and kind of opening my eyes to like building a different kind of network of something that I'm not used to. And that's taken a little bit of time, kind of just, it goes, it's like, it's funny from going from building like an email list of how do you build that to an in-person, you know, social network, so to say. So for me, like that's kind of what I've been working on lately, late in this quarter, and I'm planning on doing more and more in the upcoming quarter, because I think
that's awesome.
It's just something that, yeah, something to move forward to. Once again, like, kind of get out of my like social bubble a little bit. And what's great is like everyone's been really helpful. Like everyone has been willing to give me like, you know, at first 5-10 minutes, and then like, let's go grab some coffee, let's go get lunch, and just kind of pick each other's brains. And that's been great. So I think, yeah, these things take time, and it does take a little bit of research, and kind of, you don't want to move in too quickly and be that person that's trying to, you know, get a sale or scourge information out of buddy, out of everybody.
I think this kind of goes back to another thing that I think you had mentioned before about being more vulnerable. That's something that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first step. The reason why I think that, like, and some people would kind of shake their head and be like, what the hell does being vulnerable have to do with the, you know, increasing your business? If your goal is to network with people and to not necessarily gain leverage over them by virtue of you're paying me money, you're just doing it exactly how I would do it. Like, I, there's a reason why I have audited my circle of friends or the people that I associate with. I don't really hang out with photographers. And the reason why is, no offense, photographers, but you guys suck at business strategy. That's just the dead honest truth. So I try to circle myself around people that think like myself, but more advanced, right? Like people that have built businesses, that have thought about everything that I've thought about, but taking it to another level. Like, that's who drives me. Those are the people that I want to associate with. Now, it's not necessarily saying like I'm going to diss somebody else. I always treat everybody, I believe, with as much respect as possible. But, you know, auditing who you kind of surround yourself with is going to either, you know, improve your overall ability or kind of keep you in the same level. So I wanted to associate with people like at that networking event I went to, whatever it was, a month or two ago. And everybody there were entrepreneurs and small business owners. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, I was not trying to get clients out of it. I just wanted to pick their brains on stuff that they already know the answers to. You know, how did you scale with no money, right? Like, how did you, what was the process like building this business? When did you know when you fill in the blanks? And so that stuff was invaluable to me. And so if you can do that with the people that you're surrounding yourself with at Cal State LA, and you're just picking their brains on whatever insight that they have, whether you want to, you know, put up your own business, your side business, or you want to elevate your wedding photography business, they may have ideas and concepts to you. So it's networking that way via how can you help me be the best version of myself, and not necessarily, hey, can you put money in my pocket? I think that's just a different type of thing that people associate with. But for me, it's more about like, you know, the reason why I talk to you, the reason why we did this podcast is because like we keep spitballing ideas or concepts or notions of like what's on the top of your head, what's at the forefront. And then it's like, oh shit, I didn't think about that. And now my mind is going.
Yeah. And kind of being on the vulnerable side of things, like I've realized like, well, I've been more open to it's being a two-way street. You know, like I'm not saying I have like all these top trade secrets or anything, but like I've given away information, tips, tricks, whatever you want to call it, and just been like, yeah, like potentially maybe you're my competitor, you might steal from me, but it's like, dude, we're all in this together. Like, and because of that ability to be open and vulnerable, like I've gotten their tricks and tips and kind of like, hey man, avoid this speed bump, or like, this is what you need to look out for. And I'm like, oh, I would have never thought about that. So yeah, I'm glad you brought up being vulnerable is like, it's kind of, I'm not saying I've drastically improved on that, but in opening up and allowing myself to talk more freely and just not be worried about like, oh, are you a competitor? Or are you just trying to use this for your advantage? Like, no, dude, like we're all humans. We should all be trying to help each other out. Has tenfold opened the conversations and the networks that I've had.
Yeah. You
know, so that's a good goal that I guess I want to keep moving forward, but I think I've improved on from quarter one.
I think it is a huge part about confidence is being vulnerable. And there's a lot of machismo people that would say otherwise and be like, let's scoff at that. But honestly, I mean, I've gained so much confidence knowing that it's a sign of it, right? Like if I tell you all my warts, right? And I tell you the shit that I've done wrong, like I am fully confident in handing you that information. knowing that I fucked up here, did this. I almost got sued the other week. Like, you know, boom, here's what I did wrong. The person mm-hmm. that's hiding that shit is just hiding it because they're insecure and they don't want to shit. Like, oh, I've handled my business flawlessly. I don't have any of those kind of, you know, flaws. And to me, it's like, no, like this is a huge sign of confidence. And then also too, just based off of talking to people about that stuff and also giving you my trade secrets, if you want to call them that, you know, these are just strategies that I believe in. Then knowing that you could take those is no, I don't like that. Just that's a sign of, again, that's a sign of confidence. Like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not a big threat to me overall, like that, you know how to negotiate and I'm the only person that can corner the market on that. Like, no, I want you to get better. I honestly do. I want everybody to get better. And I just think it's a sign of confidence, and it really has increased my ability to talk with just about everybody that I can, whether somebody has 10 times the experience I have or 10 times less. It has allowed me to connect with people in a way that I wouldn't have had before if I tried to keep that information close to the vest.
Yeah, no, and I think it's just exponential growth in that field, and like, and I don't think anyone's going to snake any clients from you. And then if they do, like, it's such a, like, the community that you start socializing with is small. Like, even though you might think the world's big, like, the community that you work in is very small, and people will find out. And like, it's, life is a long run game. Like, just be a good person all the time and things will start to tend going your way rather than trying to make a quick hustle or undercut people.
I agree. Like,
that stuff will catch up to you really quick.
And then one last thing before we kind of wrap up, just, you know, we were talking about direct mail and kind of doing promo for print. And I think one thing that I saw on social media, and it was from a world-class photographer, saying that he does e-cards. And I don't know why, like, this was revolutionary to me, but I was like, holy shit, oh yeah, of course. That's just so freaking logical. You know, so you don't have to necessarily build print promos. You can also build these cards displaying your work in an email card and send them that way.
Yeah, no, I think we talked to Andrew Nelson about that, of another, he was doing kind of like a holiday recording type of thing rather than just mm-hmm. printing out cards and mass signing it, because he's like, this way, you know, there's like a template and it's very, you can make it, like, the template's there, but you can make the interaction very personal. And he's like, and people get a trip out of it. And he's like, why haven't I been doing this earlier? And I was like, oh, this is a great little 2 cents tidbit that I might take to the bank, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. So Robert, do you have any one last little thing that you want to kind of shout out or say about your 2020 goals?
Yeah. So this is going to be like a personal goal, and especially it's relevant, I think, because I have the time right now. I want to get back on my learn Spanish train because I think, one, it's extremely valuable, and also I have the time to do it. So throwing that out to the universe right now, like, I got to hop back on that train because, yeah, like, why not? And especially living in Southern California, like, it is another skill that will help separate you from other people.
Exactly. And then so, I'll just do one last little thing for mine for quarter two is when we do their quarter two reviews, I hope to rebuild my emergency fund, because I think it may be, you know, going into that emergency fund just to sustain, you know, the next few months, whatever it may be. And then try to build another active revenue stream outside of photography. If there's ever been a time where it's like, man, I wish I had, you know, passive income really going, this would be that type of time. So hopefully those would be quarter two goals that I can build upon. And yeah, if not for quarter two, certainly going forward.
Sounds good. Well, it looks like that's going to wrap it up for us today. If you guys have enjoyed the show, help us out by hitting the like and subscribe button on your favorite podcasting service. It helps the algorithm. Also, don't forget to check us out at media1099.com. Once again, that's media1099.com. Awesome website. And like I said in this episode, I will be writing more. So if I do not, and you don't see it, give me some grief on that. Once again, I'm Robert Husky, here with Michael Durr as always, and we will catch you on the next episode.